Hello, Eisting.
Yes.
Yep, you're coming through nice and clear. You can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. First, I wanted to say thank you so much for praying for me. Today, I would like to share a few thoughts about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're all able to hear me well. We will look at some well-known verses in the epistles, and we will read verse by verse in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 1. But first, I would like to comment on a few verses from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, which is the foundation for how to understand the coming of the Lord. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. I'm not going to read the verses. I will just comment on them. There was a command to restore and to build or rebuild Jerusalem. We believe it was Nehemiah who pronounced those words in his book in chapter 2. This prophecy includes a total of 70 times 7 years, equal to 490 years. The interesting thing is that it is divided in three sections. We have 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. The 7 plus the 62 weeks is already history. The last week is synonym with the 7-year tribulation period. And it is what we need to know in order to understand the last times. From the time Nehemiah pronounced the words and until Messiah, the prince, there should be 69 weeks. In Hebrew, it doesn't say 69 weeks, but 69 sevens. But we understand from the context that it is not 69 ordinary weeks, but weeks of years. So 69 times 7 years is equal to 483 years. So the prophecy begins back in the days of Nehemiah, and the end of week 69 is when Christ died on the cross. We know when the first week of the prophecy began. We know when the 69th week of it ended. That was when Christ was cut off. But we don't know when the 70th week will begin, the tribulation period. This period is also called a day of vengeance, and it is called Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30. Now let's read verse 27. Then he, that is Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Antichrist is going to make a peace covenant with many. Do you think that a politician who can make peace on earth is going to be popular? Yes, he will. But in the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. It also means 42 months, or we read also 1260 days, or we also read after a time and times and half a time. Then he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Part of the agreement Antichrist is making has to do with sacrifices. Israel would be interesting to build another temple and to begin with sacrifices. The first 3.5 years is what the Lord calls the beginning of sorrows in Matthew 24, verse 8. And the last part of the week is called the Great Tribulation. This was just a brief overview so that we can know for sure that there is a 7-year period coming in the future for Daniel's people, the Jews, and the holy city, Jerusalem, as said in verse 24 here in Daniel chapter 9. Before we go on to read in Matthew 24, we need to say a few things about the rapture of the church. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. A mystery. What is that? A mystery is something not revealed in the past. Something strange or not known that has not yet been explained or understood. Anything that is kept secret or remains unexplained or unknown. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is going to happen very quickly. And maybe one of these days, we don't know. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Greek word for moment here is atomos. It is going to happen in an atomos of time. In order to help us to understand how quickly that is, the rest of the sentence says, in the twinkling of an eye. Now take a few seconds now and concentrate on the blinking of your eyes. The average person blinks some 15 to 20 times per minute. You are here now, and in one blink, you're gone. And gone where? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. I'm not going to read these six verses. You all know them, but let's take a look at what it says. We will read verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend. It doesn't say an angel, it says the Lord himself. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Who is that? That is all the dead who belong to the body of Christ. It is only believers after the day of Pentecost, where it is said that we are in Christ. John the Baptist, he was not in Christ, even though he was a godly man, and of course he will be in heaven. But he died before the day of Pentecost. Not David, not Joseph, not Abraham. They will all rise on the very last day at the end of the tribulation, just before the thousand-year kingdom begins. That's what Martha said. She said, I know that he, that was Lazarus, her brother, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And we also find it in Daniel chapter 12, the very last verse there. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That includes my dad and mom, who passed away in 1983 and in 2009, they, among many others, will rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. The two passages we just read from 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about the same thing. And because of that, we can say that the rapture of the church is a mystery. It was not only the rapture, which was a mystery, but the whole truth about the church. Paul is describing this in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, if Paul is saying that the changing of our bodies in a twinkling of an eye and the truth about the church included the rapture of our bodies was a mystery, how likely is it that these truths were already revealed in the four Gospels? If my wife wrote a letter to you to tell you that we were moving to Canada at the end of this year, telling you that we have already booked our tickets for December 15th. And then on December 10th, 5 days before it happens, I sent you an email to reveal a secret that we are moving to Canada and we have already booked our tickets for December 15th. Would that be a secret anymore if you already were told this half a year earlier? Of course not. If the Lord Jesus chose to let Paul reveal the mystery about the rapture, how likely is it that the Lord himself would reveal the truth about the rapture in the four Gospels? Or why do Paul call it a mystery if the Lord already told about the rapture in the four Gospels? The Lord mentioned the church only one single time in the four Gospels and said, upon this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church. Other than that, it is only mentioned in a few parables, like in Matthew chapter 13, where the church is the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. If the Lord did not reveal the truth about the rapture in Matthew 24 or in John chapter 14, we need to ask ourselves, what did he actually talk about? We have a nice application of the rapture in John chapter 14, but for a proper understanding of the end times, we need to know what the exact meaning, the literal meaning of it is. We don't have time to go into every detail about this, but we will read just a few verses. John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. Is the Lord preparing a place for us today? Is he? If that is something nice for you to think about, then I'm sorry to interrupt those thoughts. But the Lord is not preparing a place for us today. And why? Because he already has. He has prepared that place for us when he died on the cross. It is included in the three famous words, it is finished. He created heavens and the earth in 6 days. It didn't take him longer than that. Why should he use over 2,000 years to prepare a place for us in heaven? He prepared a place for us when he died on the cross. It's already prepared. And if or when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there he may be also. What is the time for the receiving here? We will say more about that later. Now let's let this verse hang for a moment. What else is the Lord saying in this chapter regarding the same thing? Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Is this talking about the rapture? No. But it says the Lord is coming. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? Yes, if you're saved. Do you have the Lord Jesus in your heart too? Yes, if you are saved. But do you have the Heavenly Father in your heart? Yes, if you are saved. They all came to live in believers' hearts from Pentecost on. And here is the reference, John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. This is said in the context of John 14, verse 3. Is this talking about the rapture? No. But the Lord is saying that he and the Father will come and take our abode with him. Or as it says in the New King James, we will come to him and make our home with him. This is the synonym words for I will come again and receive you unto myself. Do you see this? These two statements are just the same. I will read them again. Verse 23. We will come to him and make our home with him. And verse 2, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Do you see it? I hope so. Before we can make applications, we need to know the literal meaning of a verse or a passage. And when we read John chapter 14, 15, and 16, we need to ask ourselves, what is the Lord actually talking about? Is he talking about the rapture, or is he talking about that he was coming again to live in believers' heart? Do we see how great a truth that is? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming to abide in us, to live in our hearts while we are here on earth, waiting for the Lord Jesus to take us home to heaven. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. John 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Why could they not understand the truth he told them? Because it was before the day of Pentecost. John 16:25 also explains why the Lord is talking like he do. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. There is a before they received the Holy Spirit and after they received the Holy Spirit. And that's the subject of John 14, 15, 16. Think about that when you read those chapters next time. It has to do with before and after the Holy Spirit is coming, the difference there. And he's saying this in figurative language because they wasn't able to understand it fully. The Lord said here in verse 25, the time cometh. And in verse 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What day is the Lord talking about? At that day. He is talking about how things will be from the day of Pentecost, when they will have the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son in their heart. When the Holy Spirit will abide in the believers, that day, when by one Spirit all were baptized into one body. Why is it important to see that the Lord was not revealing anything of the mystery about the rapture? It is because it helps us to understand that everything written in Matthew 24 regarding the coming of the Lord has to do with the seven-year tribulation, which will occur after the secret rapture of the church. Because we are not in Matthew 24 now, and we will never be. Okay, what we have seen so far is necessary in order to get a proper understanding of Matthew 24. If we all grew up in a remote island somewhere, and the only gospel truth we had was Matthew 24, which came from a bottle past one day, then we would all believe that the church was going through the tribulation period, and after that, the Lord would come. And why? Because it clearly states that in Matthew 24:29. Read that verse. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 29, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Before we begin to read from Matthew 24, verses 1 through 8, let's take a look at what the phrase beginning of sorrows means, found in verse 8. We find the beginning of sorrows from verse 4 to verse 8. Paul is using the same Greek word in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Paul is using the word known as travail, or the labor pains on a pregnant woman. If there is labor pains, there must also be a labor. The birth is found in Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The earth is going to be regenerated, or born again, if you will, to be ready for the 1,000-year kingdom. The judgment the Lord refers to here is found in Matthew 25:31-46, known as the sheep and the goat judgment. So we can conclude with the fact that Matthew 24, verse 4 to 8, is the beginning of the labor pains, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. It is the easiest part of the 7-year tribulation period. The Bible doesn't say the beginning of the labor pains will be easy. It will not be easy at all. But compared to the rest of the labor pains, the last 3.5 years, the beginning will be easiest. And it actually begins pretty good. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:3 again, just one phrase. For when they shall say, peace and safety. For one reason or another, it looks like the tribulation period is going to begin with peace and safety. And who doesn't want that, except those who earn from selling weapons? How long this peace and safety lasts, we do not know. I personally think it will be just a few weeks into the tribulation. And then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, as we begin to read from Matthew 24, we need to know that some of the verses we read here are also, and also in Luke 21, it has double fulfillment. And it's not always easy to know what it refers to, what happened in 70 AD, or if it is in the tribulation period. And sometimes it means both. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, these two verses clearly shows that this is already fulfilled. It happened in 70 AD when the Romans, led by Titus, came and destroyed the temple. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I personally believe that verse 6 here describes the situation in the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, the beginning of the labor pains. This means that the war from 1940 to 1945 was not described here in Matthew, and neither the war in Ukraine from 2014 and until today. But of course, we don't know how things will develop now. We don't know. And as soon as the church is taken home, as soon as the Lord is coming to take us up in the air, then begins the 7-year tribulation period. I believe that what we see today could very well be the preparation for what is going to take place soon, but we don't know. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Nation against nation. In Greek, ethnos, egairou, epi ethnos. It means people group against people group, or civil wars. And I think we will see more and more of that. And we see it already. It's people group against people group in one nation. And then we read of three things: famines, pestilence, earthquakes. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So there is going to be famines, pestilence and earthquakes in the tribulation period. How about the famines we have today? And yeah, there might be even more soon. That's what the politician tells us. And how about the pestilence? We have newly finished with Corona in most places, but there's still some. But yeah, I think this is a shadow of what's coming ahead of us in the tribulation period. I think it will be way more than what we see today. And thankfully, the Lord is not going that his body will be here. His body will be in heaven by then. But we don't know how tough it will be before the rapture happens. It can be wars and many things. We don't know about that. But we know that when the wrath of God, the day of revenge from God, when that is coming, that is not for the church. That is for the unbeliever. But the vengeance or the wrath we receive from this world, that can be in effect too. And we see it today in many countries where Christians are killed. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Who is the Lord talking to here? That's important to ask that question. Then they shall deliver you, hated of all nations. Which nation on earth is hated of every other nation? The Lord is here talking to the Jews. That's the literal meaning of it. But of course, Christians are hated too. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. 11. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. We see that today too. Many false prophets. But in the tribulation period, it will increase a lot. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Again, this is talking to Israel, not to the church. 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel, there is only one gospel, but it has different aspects. In Romans 16:25, Paul is talking about one aspect of it, and he calls it my gospel. Here in Matthew 24:14, we see another aspect called the gospel of the kingdom, which means the good news about the thousand-year kingdom. So it is not the gospel of grace which will be preached in the tribulation period, but the gospel of the kingdom. Who is going to preach it? Matthew 10:23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye unto another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The Lord sent out 12 disciples. We believe he's going to send out 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes, the 144,000, to finish the task, because he said, you will not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. So what the apostles started, the 144,000, might be the one who will finish that task. 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso read it, let him understand. Well, this is Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation. He is, as we read from Daniel, this deal that he had made, he broke that. 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and not and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Again, talking to the Jews. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And the elect he's talking about here, it is not the church. There will be Israel, there will be servants who serve God, and there will be people who get saved in the tribulation, people who didn't have the chance today in the day of dispensation, in the dispensation of grace, they will have a chance in the tribulation period. Those who did hear the gospel, they will be deceived according to the word of God. 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shine even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We see how different this is from the rapture. Every eye shall see him when he's coming at the end of the tribulation. But at the rapture, the unbelievers will not see him. Suddenly we are all gone. Our clothes are here, left, and we got a new body. Everything is left. For wheresoever the carcasses is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. There will be a lot of carcasses because of what's going on in the tribulation period. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So here we see the angels is coming. And when we read in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord is comparing those who get saved with the wheat and those who do not get saved with the tares. And then he say, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Here in Matthew 24, verse 31, we only find the wheat mentioned. The select, the which means all those, the elect, all those who receive the gospel after the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. We also find the result of this preaching in Revelation chapter 7. John saw a huge group of people and were wondering where, who they were and where they came from. And one of the elders saying unto me, said to John, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is people who get saved in the tribulation period, people who didn't hear the gospel yet. Well, I have some more left, but I think my time is gone, so I think I should stop there. But yeah, maybe another time, Lord willing. So thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you all. Amen.
He covered an immense amount of area there, but a lot, that all